Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Can I get a little, like, this is Chuck Lavelle, piano extraordinaire, tree farmer extraordinaire, and you're listening to The Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Chuck Lavelle, a keyboard player with the Rolling Stones and also a tree farmer, and you are listening to the Mike Novak.
Mike Novak.
Novak, thank you. Okay, sorry. Hi, this is Chuck Lavelle, keyboard player with the Rolling Stones and a tree farmer and a lover of trees. And you, my friends, are listening to the Mike Novak Show on Progressive Talk Radio.
And Chicago's Progressive Talk.
I'll just say for sure, and you can. On Chicago's Progressive Talk.
We're the only one, baby. Thank you very much. You can.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a kolachki's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's seriously, strenuously, and severely green, and it gives him a headache every week. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Okay, you with me there, Dennis?
Yes, sir, I am.
Dennis is handling the producing duties today. Hey, by the way, funny bit you did this morning.
Oh, you mean Denny Hamlin. Oh, thank you.
Denny Hamlin. Give me a little Denny Hamlin.
Just a little Denny Hamlin right there. Talk about that. Fishing?
And tell me about fishing in Illinois on April 1st.
I'll tell you one thing. We're going to be on right after your show. At 1 o'clock, talking about fishing. 11 o'clock, whatever time. I don't even know. It's early, all right?
Are you replacing Meet the Press? Is that it?
Meet the Fish. That's what it's going to be called. Meet the Fish.
In case you missed the beginning of Our Town, it was a pretty good punk there.
Yeah, people called in. They were like writing notes, ready to complain and get the show off. And,
really?
So you really got
people complaining about
that. Yeah, a lady called in and she said that. She said, I was getting ready to write in and you got me. And she said she didn't even need coffee this morning. So we woke her up.
That's great. That's great that you pulled it off, and that's Sanders, who had to do an April Fool's joke. My show is an April Fool's joke, but it's 52 weeks a year April Fool's joke.
Come on now.
But actually, it's interesting because you're watching us here, Dennis, load in. It's a little crazy.
It's mayhem.
It is mayhem today. I have the orchestra in the studio, and I won't even explain what that means right now, because in just a few short minutes, when everything's set up here, and believe me, we're doing this on the fly. This is when Mike Sanders and the crew leave from Our Town, we have about 2 minutes and 20 seconds to get everything in here and switch seats in the studio and load up the stuff on the screen and the computers and get this show ready to go.
Live radio, baby.
Live radio. You gotta love it. This is totally old school. Very old school.
Don't start smoking cigarettes in here. We'll be fine.
Okay, great.
That's
darn
old school.
I was gonna light up.
That's old school.
That is totally old school, like Edward R. Murrow. But today there's something special, and it's not really because it's April Fool's Day. I'm not a huge fan of April Fool's jokes, and I was going to tell folks that they were making me do this now for the rest of my show forever and ever, but we'll let that go. But and I still can't tell you. So this is a tease for all of you listening right now and wondering, what is he talking about? You'll hear soon enough. Let me get a cue. Oh, wait, yeah, pull that over. Pull that that sucker over. Oh, you guys are gonna have to test something here? Okay. Well, I can.
We're not blowing you away.
No. That's okay. Yeah, they're gonna test something here.
Okay, it's working.
Wow.
How's that sound in there, Dennis?
It sounds amazing. Are we in a spa?
We are.
Yay!
Look at that. And this is the new music for my show. For all you folks, you know I like to rock out on Sunday mornings. We're gonna lay back. I guess we're gonna lie back. And for those of you correcting my grammar. Are you guys ready, or was that a test?
That was a test. It sounds good. If it sounds good coming out of your end.
It does. Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Sounds good.
That is Tracy DeMarco. And Kathleen, feel free to load that up now on my website. I was keeping it a secret because we didn't know how this is going to turn out. But you'll see it posted on the FTP there. I think it's called. You'll see the special code there, Kathleen. And Tracy is a fan of the show, right?
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you what, slide over to that mic there. And I know, you can't believe the equipment we have in here.
Over myself.
I'm hearing a little hum, though. Are you?
There would be a little hum from the amp.
It's a little, yeah. Okay. We can live with hum. I'll pull that down for now. How are you, Tracy?
I'm good.
Great.
Waking up.
Yeah. And she is in the studio here with Brian Bradbury. Say hi, Brian.
Hello.
He's stuck on the other side of the room. I'm wondering, boy, we just can't run these mics far enough. So at some point, Brian, I'll have you roll around to the other microphone.
Yeah, he's kind of trapped at the moment.
Yeah. And Tracy's a fan of the show, which I appreciate. She listens down in Kankakee. But she's a musician and has done a bunch of stuff. And we're going to perform today. In the studio as we go along for everything. Maybe, you know, a little background music for interviews and certainly for commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to wing it. Should we do something to give them an idea of what you guys are capable of?
Yeah, sure.
First of all, tell me a little bit about yourself, Tracy, and the and your musicianship. And you've got a CD coming out. You actually have a Kickstarter campaign that's launching.
Yes, I do. I was hoping to get that launched this weekend, but hit a little snag. So it should be up and running in the next few days. I'm trying to raise money for my new CD. I came out with a CD for The Glass Hour, which is my music project, around 2005. And I had a couple of different musicians that were playing me at that time. And they're no longer with me, but Brian's with me now. And
Do people tend to leave you, Tracy? Is that what happens?
No, that's not it. They musicians all have their own projects, so.
I just, is it like when the Beatles broke up? Is that what
It's just everyone likes to collaborate on different things, and I actually enjoy bringing different people in to different parts of my music, so I like to collaborate with other musicians.
Now, how would you characterize your music?
It's very atmospheric, ambient. It's very kind of fairy tale. I mean, that's a perfect description of it. It's very soundtrack oriented. If you were going to think of some kind of Lord of the Rings soundtrack or science fiction or something like that, it would probably fit in that category. A lot of my music's nature oriented, so probably fits well with the show.
Mm-hmm.
I write a lot about how nature relates to the human condition, you know, I'm going to use a cliche, but it does relate in how we have difficulties in our life, especially the CD is kind of it's like the story starts out with a story of a fairy who loses someone that they love. It's kind of a fairy tale. And then the different songs kind of progress through the different emotions that would go through with loss or grieving or any difficulty that someone would have in life of loss. And then relating that to nature and the processes of renewal and patience and rebirth and all those different themes. And I'm a huge gardener, a huge environmental nature person, so I love to incorporate that.
Well, you know, when I listen to your music, it's got that Lord of the Rings feel to it.
Yeah, it's very, especially this body of work, the new CD. It's going to be called Ever After is the title, tentatively. And it's definitely, it's got an orchestrated quality. And there's a variety of vocal and instrumental songs on there. There's a little bit of rock guitar thrown in.
Yay!
So that's where Brian comes in, helps me out.
And what instruments do you play, and what instruments does Brian play?
I play Irish harp or a lever harp. So that's a little different than the big concert harps you see in an orchestra. They're slightly smaller harp. Usually you'd play Irish music or traditional music on those kind of smaller harps. I also sing, and I play keyboard. And Brian is a great guitarist. That's his primary instrument. He plays with a local cover band called Heartless.
Heartless?
Heartless, yeah.
Oh,
they
I like the name already.
They do heart cover songs and songs from the 80s and some newer songs, and they play around the Chicago area. So that's his primary thing. And he also is a great keyboard player as well. And he does some keyboard on my CD too.
And I've heard you sing, and you refuse to sing here in studio. And I don't know why that is. You have a you have a lovely voice.
Thank you.
In fact, I've got some of your music that I've I downloaded into the system here, and I will play some of that later. All right, let's something right now. What do you guys want to start with?
Well, we were going to play one of the songs from our new CD. You know, a lot of the songs are kind of orchestrated, so they're hard to do live. It's not a live project yet, maybe in the future.
No, but we understand. You know, there's studio musicianship, and then there's live musicianship.
Exactly.
But I'm sure you guys can fake it pretty well, right?
But we have one song that we can do with as a twosome here. So we're going to do, it's a song called We Shall Breathe that's going to be on the new CD. So we're going to kind of play that. Maybe a little stripped-down version of it, but it should come over
well. All right, let's do this stripped-down version of...
And we'll do that.
Dennis is nodding. Did someone say strip? of We Shall Breathe. And this is Tracy DeMarco and Brian Bradbury live in studio. Forgive us for the little bit of amplifier hum. We're not actually patching the system. We got the amplifier hooked up here.
Yeah, forgive that. So.
That's okay.
Hopefully this will kind of translate pretty well. All right, whenever you're ready.
Thank you.
Very nice. Let's. I was up there videotaping that as we're running, even at the very end. Slide back over to the microphone. I got to take care of some business here, but and I got to let people know that we won't just have Tracy and Brian on the show today. Jennifer Brennan will be here later on. We start shooting Dig in Chicago tomorrow in Grant Park. At Millennium Park at the Lurie Garden. And then on Tuesday at the Shedd Aquarium and the Field Museum. Wednesday, we're out in some of the burbs. Excuse me. And on and on. It's going to be really, really fun. And we're looking forward to that. And so we'll preview that later. In the second hour, and I already asked Tracy if she can do music for this. Very odd situation going on in Michigan. This is April 1st, and it's not an April Fool's joke. The Michigan Department of Natural Resources has basically just outlawed heritage breed hogs. Now, these are hogs that farmers raise where they are out and eat grass in range-free. They're the ones that are not in the confined animal feeding operations. You know a little bit about this, Tracy, right? Because you
a little bit. I actually, in one of my zillion different careers, I actually studied. I was working as a veterinary technician for a few years, and I went to school for a year. And as part of our large animal studies, we did do a trip out to some local. We went to a hog farm. We went to a cattle operation. We took care of some sheep, and so I actually visited a hog farm and wasn't super pleased with what I found there. For me, it was just kind of disturbing. I just, you know, the animals are very confined, just not, I don't know.
Yeah,
I love to see animals that are out in the open in the range,
sure.
But they are very confined.
They are. I mean, the some of the conditions are appalling. Mm-hmm. The Michigan Department of Natural Resources, in its infinite wisdom, has decided that they've got a problem with feral hogs in the state. So they want to clean up the feral hogs. Okay, I get that. You know, that there may be, and they do environmental damage and they do cause problems. But they've decided, they have this set of rules that they sort of basically said, okay, we're just handing down this ruling and it goes into effect April 1st. Where those same hogs, if you have them on your farm, they can fine you or arrest you for having them. They can come and slaughter your hogs even if you have them penned in because they're worried about them getting out. And now I saw a farmer that we were going to have on the show, Mark Baker, but he's apparently not going to be here. However, we're going to have Karen Hudson from the Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water and Chris Peterson, president of the Iowa Farmers Union, to talk about this because in the effort to eradicate feral hogs, they're going to take away all of the free-range hogs, whether, you know, in the organized, from the farms. Just take them out of there. It's a really disturbing story. And it's, once again, it shows this effort on the part of the CAFOs. First, we talked about them trying to stifle free speech by not allowing any cameras in there. And now, taking away, you know, that's if you want only CAFOs in the world, you take away the free range hogs too. So, for people who want their food humanely raised and slaughtered, this is not a good thing. So that's in the second hour. So all of that on the Mike Novak Show today. I'm behind here, so here's what I'm going to ask you to do, Tracy, or Brian.
All right.
Can you give me some canoe music?
Music.
Or water, music?
We got water.
You got water? Okay. I got your water right here, pal, is what she's saying.
Don't worry.
All right, she's sending.
I got the water for you.
Okay, we got the water for you. Oh, you're going to do this?
Yep.
Oh, she's at the keyboard. All right. Brian, that doesn't upset you, does it?
I'm okay.
Okay. Go for the water while I do this. Ladies and gentlemen, start your canoes and kayaks. Oh, just jump in at any time when you figure it out. The Des Plaines River Canoe and Kayak Marathon on Sunday, May 20th, is open for registration. This is a great way for people of all ages and skill levels to experience the beautiful and historic Des Plaines River There it is. And participants have the option of donating to Open Lands during registration this year. Founded in 1958, this is the second oldest continual canoe race in the United States. The race is 18 and a half miles on the beautiful and historic Des Plaines River. There are numerous classes to accommodate people of all ages and levels, with a halfway takeout option possible for non-competitors. That sounds like my speed. Go to canoemarathon.com for more information. That's just one of the ways you can be part of the Open Lands community. What happened to our water? You had it there for a second. There we go. Volunteer your time, enjoy one of the many Open Lands public spaces, or donate to a project. If you'd like to sign up for the Des Plaines River Canoe and Kayak Marathon on Sunday, May 20th, go to canoemarathon.com and consider donating to Open Lands. Find out more at openlands.org. Open Lands, conserving nature for life.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
And I'm glad to have them back. Wait, where's my bell? Plant Skid back on the Mike Novak Show this year. Great people. And if you do have deer and rabbit problems, this is a great product to use for that. Now, I say tomato, you say tomato. And then I say Dr. Earth's tomato vegetable and herb fertilizer. Its organic blend contains fishbone meal, which will provide your tomatoes with proper calcium and prevent blossom end rot. Dr. Earth's tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer is also packed with 7 champion strains of beneficial soil microbes, which help make nutrients available to your plants. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you, and be sure to check out the Facebook page. Search Dr. Earth and click like for organic updates.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
You'll appreciate this tweet before you start your tree music. I just got a tweet. I'm totally wiping my Pandora radio of Band of Horses and the Shins so I can rock out to the New Age synth on the Mike Novak Show. Let's have a little tree music. Here's something the care of trees would like you to remember. Your trees are living, breathing, growing things, and they often have some birds in them. But a lot of people lump their trees into the same category as their roofs or their driveways. That is to say, they consider them maintenance items and not living organisms. And they expect the impossible. For instance, they wonder why you can't cut off 90% of a tree's roots and expect it to survive. Or they can't understand why constantly bumping a lawnmower into the trunk can be destructive. The care of trees understands how complex trees are and wants you to know that we shouldn't expect box store solutions to solve their problems. Make the care of trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. That's too funny. That's great stuff. In the studio with me today, Tracy DeMarco, and her magical harp with keyboardist Brian Bradbury. And a couple of things I want to call to your attention. We've been talking the last few weeks. It's early to be putting in your warm weather vegetables. Please don't do that. I have an article. Did I get that? Wow. I thought I had it in there. Oh, yes, I do. There it is. Okay, sorry. Woo. Got some information from an article came out from the University of Missouri. And this was last week. Warm temperatures and sunshine have come to the Midwest earlier than usual this spring. A University of Missouri expert predicts a continued warm trend, but he cautions farmers and gardeners against planting early. With warm temperatures and trees blossoming, it's tempting to plant now, said Tony Lupo, who's professor and chair of the Department of Soil, Environment, and Atmospheric Sciences in the School of Natural Resources. I don't predict a cold snap, but I recommend that gardeners wait until mid-April when the potential for a freeze has passed. Now, that's Missouri. Here in Illinois, we're still, you know, the date is May 15th when the average last frost occurs in Illinois. Now, again, I can't predict. We'll find out from Rick DeMaio in just a little bit about what's going on with that. But the article continues, though, from University of Missouri. The warm weather continues for fruit trees, commercial crops, and budding plants to emerge early. In 2007, however, you might remember the similar weather conditions brought warm weather to the Midwest. However, a shift in the climate pattern brought cold Arctic air to the area. After days of extreme cold, farmers incurred millions of dollars in crop loss from ruined crops of fruits, hay, and corn. The fellow here, Tony Lupo, says there's a block of Arctic air in Alaska right now, but it's not as large as it was in 2007. He said the next few weeks will be critical as he and his colleagues track weather patterns, and that's something we'll ask Rick DeMaio about. So that being said, I get all these interesting emails all the time. I get newsletters and so forth, and one of them is from the Illinois Fruit and Vegetable News. And I've got the link on that at MikeNovak.net. By the way, you can always go to MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show. All the stuff is up there, and I even have Tracy DeMarco's information up there. I got the link to her, your website and your Facebook page and the Glass Hour CD. And when do you think you're getting that
Kickstarter account. We're trying to raise money to actually produce the CD. It's going to be a full-color, 8-page booklet, really beautiful artwork. I did a lot of the artwork, did all the design on my own and by myself. But it's going to be real fairy-esque and really, really nice to have, something you want to collect. but I hope to have that up, the Kickstarter, probably this week sometime. It just has to go through some approval thing. And if you just do a search for the Glass Hour, you should be able to find it. So.
Great. All right. We're going to have a little, your next task is to come up with, it's going to be soil music. You can handle it, right? Right, Tracy? Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. What was it?
Raining.
It sounds like raining. Yeah. But that's okay too. Rain's good. So back to the Illinois Fruit and Vegetable News. Chris Dahl, who writes in this newsletter that comes out periodically, and I receive it, and he says, what a year already. Actually, it might be a she. I don't know if Chris is a he or a she. What a year already. Weather, primarily warm weather, has been a hot topic, especially for the past month. I have not averaged the daily temperatures, but the media report that March has been the warmest on record with only 3 days to go, and this was written on the 27th, or 28th rather. There have been only two freezing temperatures, 27 degrees and 29 degrees on March 3rd and 4th. As a result, all phenology developments are the earliest on record. Apricots began blooming on March 7th. Peaches were in full bloom on March 12th. And the first bloom of apple was on March 20th. Now, I don't know whether this probably includes downstate areas, not just Chicago, because this is the Illinois Fruit and Vegetable News. However, back to what is written here. The differences in days for these crops from 2007, our most recently early spring, that saw an Easter weekend freeze and widespread crop loss, are 17 days earlier for apricots, 14 days for peaches, and 11 days for apples, which makes them at least 3 to 4 weeks ahead of normal. Two big questions are being asked. Will there be any killing freezes? When will harvest begin? As per a press release from Small's Orchard in Mondeman, Iowa, if the crop survives the killing freezes, will Jonathan harvest begin in the heat of early August? That's a great question. You know, if things don't get knocked back and we don't get that freeze and things are way ahead of schedule, is the harvest going to end up being a month ahead of time, as he says, in the heat of August? Very interesting stuff. Another thing that came up, and this it was sent to me by one of my listeners, and the title of the article, and I've got these all listed at MikeNovak.net. You can always go to MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show, and scroll down to the bottom, where I've got a bunch of these articles because they're just kind of interesting reading. This headline is Start Stockpiling Maple Syrup. Bum, bum. Oh, you got any something ominous for me to stockpile maple syrup? I'm just sandbagging here. It's like I throw these things out, and Brian's going, what?
We got it.
You got it? Ominous music. That was pretty ominous.
Oh, my.
Good. While we were all frolicking naked in our kiddies' pools during last week's crazy heat wave, the nation's maple farmers were shedding tears of sweet sadness. This year's tropical temperatures are devastating maple production. For the love of all things breakfast, start stockpiling maple syrup. And this is true. I'm reading this article. The early spring has drastically cut the length of this year's maple sugaring season, which requires freezing night temperatures to get the sap flowing. Not only have I never seen a season like this, Massachusetts maple farmer Paul Boulanger told WickedLocal.com. I like that, Wicked Local. I have colleagues in the maple industry that have been doing this longer than I've been alive, and they've never seen it. One Wisconsin maple syrup producer got just 400 gallons compared to his usual 2,200. 400 versus 2,200. Another Vermont maple farmer quoted in the New York Times said his crop was down by half this year. This year's syrup drought could eventually lead to a price increase of about 10%, one expert told the APA. AP, you know, we're going to get so that maple syrup is more expensive than gasoline. I don't know if that's possible. Maybe. All right. So that's just some of the stories. I got a few others up there. By the way, if anybody has a question or a comment about the show and wants to chime in, 773-763-9278. You can always tweet us. My handle is Mike Now. Or write to us on Facebook. The Mike Novak Show is where you can go. And, of course, that's spelled N-O-W-A-K. You guys ready with that soil music here? Rick DeMaio weather coming up in just a sec. Gardeners know that soil is key to great growing, and that perfect soil contains the ideal structure, proper pH, plus beneficial microbes and mycorrhizae. Dr. Earth, natural and organic premium soils from Allsip Nursery contain all this and more. Their patented Pro Moisture Hydrate formula with aloe vera offers the cutting-edge biotechnology you need to keep those organisms alive. Ooh, I can hear them coming to life right now. And it's available only in Dr. Earth premium bagged soils from Allsip Nursery. To complement their soils, Dr. Earth now offers natural and organic fertilizers infused with probiotic beneficial soil microbes and mycorrhizae. In fact, all Dr. Earth products are produced with ocean-based top-quality ingredients, never any cheap fillers. Always choose Dr. Earth from Allsip Nursery for the ultimate in quality and value. Visit Allsip Nursery today in Frankfort on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. You can always visit them online, too, at www.allsipnursery.com, A-L-S-I-P-Nursery.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
There's change a-brewing in Chicago. More and more people are growing their own food, and along with that, something else is changing. Grand Street Gardens is now Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. What does that mean? Well, some things you've never seen in a garden center, like beehives and chicken coops that you could take home with you. Or how about the Green Team Growers Garden Club created especially for kids? Of course, if you mom and dads want to stop by their first meeting this Monday, that's tomorrow, from 4 to 5 p.m., I'm pretty sure you'll learn something, too. They're going to start bean and sunflower seeds inside eggshells. Have you ever done that? At Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, the cool season veggies are in, along with fruit trees, many of them self-pollinating, so you don't need a companion. Ever wanted to grow figs? They have a tree that can tolerate Chicago's climate, and much, much more. Stop by and talk to Jeannie at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. She's a pal of mine. Tell her Mike sent you. Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, right in your own backyard. All right, kids, can we get...
Well, no.
Well, that was it. There we go. That was the spot. Now we need something from Mr. Rick DeMaio to introduce Rick DeMaio. You got some weather?
You got the weather.
You got the weather?
Yep.
We got the weather stuff? Okay. Love it. Okay. And we go to the phones and bring in Rick DeMaio. Rick, you've got your own sound effects here today. give him some more thunder and rain. So they'll just sort of riff while you're talking to me. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing fine, Mike. How are you today?
Okay.
First day of April 2012. Or is it the first day of May? I'm not too sure. Is it?
It's the April, but the temperatures have calmed down. I don't know if you heard earlier the article I read about the guy from Missouri warning, and that was done a week ago, warning people about planting too early. And he was talking about a pool of cool air up in Alaska. Is that still sitting there, and is it likely to get down here at all?
I think, you know, we may see, you know, some tentacles of it, you know, come down over the next, maybe probably 2 weeks or so. But I think, you know, part of it is probably not going to have as much of an impact on us. I know a lot of people have compared, you know, what happened back in 2007, what could potentially happen here. But it does seem like that even if we do get a little bit of that, subarctic air, I shouldn't really call it subarctic air, modified Arctic Air in here later on in the next week or two, a couple things have to happen. First off, you need to have snow cover between us and it, and there's not much of that.
Right.
Secondly, it's not as prevalent as it was back in 2007. It's not as cold. In addition to that, the ground temperature is probably about 5 degrees warmer, and the Lake Michigan water temperature and Lake Superior water temperature is about 8 degrees warmer. So I think there's a lot of things that go against something like that actually, you know, having the same impact that it had back in 2007. I remember that well, because I think a lot of the cherry blossoms and the apple blossoms across the orchards up in McHenry and Lake County really took a hit on that, and consequently their season was you know shortened quite a bit. And I think that's what everybody is worried about, is how is the warm weather that's hit us early going to affect us overall throughout the rest of the year. Mike, it's almost like that movie The Day After Tomorrow, and I hate to say it, but it's like it's kind of freakish, because that movie was talking about how climate change was going to occur, and then all of a sudden it happened. And in a sense, the same thing happened here, where we were talking about the possibility of something not catastrophic happening, but something strange happening, and then all of a sudden it happened. And Mike, I don't know about you, but I'm actually a little bit disappointed by the fact that I haven't really heard any of the TV meteorologists here in the Chicago area actually give any sort of credible, reference or credible explanation as to why we had record warmth for about 8 to 10 days. No one really talked about it in a scientific sense. They all said, well, the jet stream is doing this, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't really cut it. And to me, I have to say, it's almost like maybe they're not knowledgeable about it, or not, interested in it, or a little bit afraid to say something that's wrong. But at least give it a shot.
Well, yeah, I think, when I sit here, I don't want to know that it's an anomaly, and I'm not sitting outside in my shorts saying, wow, what a great spring. I'm freaking out, actually, and wondering, what does this really mean? So my feeling is...
Not to cut you short there, but I know what you're going to say is, I don't think anybody really talked about it as much as they could have, because, okay, it's done and over with, but you know what? You have all these plants and trees out there going, okay, now what? they're on the receiving end of this. And I noticed over the last week that doesn't seem like a lot of the leaves that were coming out of the trees, kind of like they all just kind of stopped. Did you notice that? Everything just kind of slowed down. Even though the tulips are coming up, everything just kind of slowed down. Now, from a gardening standpoint, I have to ask you this. I mean, isn't it nice when plants and flowers and trees kind of get a little bit on the cold side, because it kind of keeps them somewhat refrigerated? Is this a good thing now that we went into a little bit of a near normal pattern in cooler weather, where maybe it allows them to grow instead of top up, back down into the soil, and gets a little bit, hardier and stronger for the upcoming, summer season? Could that be a possibility?
Yeah, no. These plants are supposed to grow slower than they have. In a normal year, when we have a normal spring and the temperatures are in the 40s and 50s and the tulips and the daffodils and other bulbs and the shrubs are leafing out and blooming, you get an 80-degree day, and it's wonderful and it's nice and it usually makes things pop, but then you go back and you don't lose all of your flowers. What happened this year is that, in fact, I think I heard a tulip pop just there. Yeah, we've got some bad sound effects here. But this year, everything happened so fast.
Right.
As I was telling people, the tulips were done in 3 days. And some of them, the late ones now that came up early, are lasting because the weather has cooled off. And one of the things that happened is that some of the tulips that were supposed to grow long were very short. Because they had that spurt of growth, and it didn't last. So they didn't perform the way they were supposed to perform. And to me, the whole thing was just rather frustrating.
It is. You're trying to wrap your head around this. You go, okay, now what? You don't really know what to think about it. But I think sticking with what we've seen from a standpoint of weird climate adjustments. It seems like the plants and flowers did what they were supposed to do. It got warm up. They said, okay, now we have to come out. But as far as any real solid cold weather up across northern sections of North America, are there signs that some of that might move southward over the next couple of weeks? Yeah, there are. That we could maybe get down into the mid-30s, which is not uncommon. But I think to see anything like a hard freeze where temperatures are in the mid-20s, I still think the chances of that are probably less than 5%. So
wow.
I think if people are worried about a hard freeze where the temperatures get down to about 28 degrees for about 4 hours, I still think that's a real slight chance of that happening. Could we still get a frost? Yeah, we could get a frost. Could we get a freeze? Yeah, but I think the killing freezes, the hard freezes, I still don't think that's going to happen. And I'm still betting the fact that we've had such a warm ground cover and the lakes are actually well above average, I think is really going to help us out a lot. So try not to think of this as April 1st. Try to think of this right now as about April 15th. And we're 2 weeks closer to the last day of the potential frost or a freeze. So I know that those maps that were published by the article out of, I think it was the University of Missouri and a couple other Midwest climate websites, basically just take what we have right now and advance about 2 weeks, and I think that'll probably make us feel a little bit better.
Well, you know, I feel better just in, it's been interesting. The last 3 days, we had predictions that temperatures would get a little warmer than they have. And really,
yeah.
We kind of, and I'm in Chicago, so I'm closer to the lake. And I don't know if
right.
it was just
oh,
a
yeah.
lake thing, but they've been nice and cool. And I have to admit, it makes me a lot less nervous.
Right. Well, yeah, a couple of days ago, it looked like we were going to get into the upper 60s to low 70s on Saturday and probably the low to mid 80s on Sunday. Now, that was a real slight possibility. And then clearly you can see by Thursday that wasn't going to happen. And by Friday, it looked like it was going to be more of a cloudy or cool day on Saturday, which it turned out to be. We actually had the best part of the day between about 5 and about 6, and we got the rainfall last night. And this is something I wanted to talk about today, Mike. We actually had some very beneficial rain. Last Friday, we had about an inch and a half, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, we had about an inch and a half of rain. Then we had another half inch this past Friday. So it seems like every Friday we've had some sort of rain or snow so far since the beginning of 2012. And then we had an additional quarter to about a half inch last night with some of the shower and thunderstorm activity, which has been really good. And I've even seen some puddles and some ponding in certain lawns, which is, you know, telling me that the ground has sufficient amount of moisture. So even though we had a little bit of a dry spell heading into our warm weather over the last couple of weeks, we ended up with about 2 inches of rainfall over the last couple of weeks, which is really good depending on where you are across the Chicagoland area.
It's been raining in the studio for the last couple of minutes. Oh, and a little thunder, too. All right, listen, hang on. We'll get the forecast. I got to take care of some business. That's Rick DeMille weather, and we have rain in the studio, but we've got our umbrellas. You know the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Well, with sun and shade DuraTurf from Bonide, the grass will at least be thicker on your side of the fence. Sun and shade DuraTurf from Bonide is a premium seed mix that will not only grow thick, but there are formulations for both sunny and not-so-sunny areas in case your side of the fence is a little shadier. This versatile sun and shade grass seed spreads easily, quickly repairs thin and bare spots, and it's 99.9% weed-free, so you won't have any additional lawn work to deal with. Well, there's always lawn work if you got a lawn, but you know what I mean. Try Sun and Shade DuraTurf Premium Grass Seed Mix by Bonide. You can find it at these local retailers: Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove, Illinois, Mel's Ace Hardware in Elmhurst, Illinois, Gensler Gardens in Loves Park, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or your Droid.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. PlantSkid.
What do you do if your garden isn't turning out like you want it to? Easy. Just add some decoration, you know? A nice fountain here and there, perhaps a decorative stepping stone or two, of course. These are also nice if your garden is blooming like a banshee or a canary. Either way, Pesci's is the place to go. Your garden is an extension of you and your home, and the decorative accents at Pesci's can help you put the finishing touches on the outdoor spaces you spend so much time in. They have high-quality stone statues, designer pottery, and if you want to attract more birds and butterflies to your outdoor haven, they have bird baths and butterfly feeders. They also... the birds are really happy. They also carry items such as wind chimes and indoor and outdoor mats. And while you're there, pick up some stunning annuals or Pesci's grown cool weather veggies for your spring garden. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. I'd head over there right now. For more information, visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. Well, Rick, the birds are singing in here, too.
The birds are singing in there, too. Well, you got everything going.
It's all here. And that's Tracy DeMarco. And with her harp and keyboard is Brian Bradbury. We're going to have a little more from them in the start the second hour. And
oh, great.
And I've got people already tweeting. They want to know how to contact them and get their CD and help them with their kickstart when that goes up. But you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. It's right at the top. All right, Mr. Yes, sir.
Yeah, are they going to be on your TV show when that gets going as well?
We might have to do that. I'll have to talk to the producers and see if we can fit them in.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, in the last 3 minutes that we have here, you know, it's interesting because the pattern has definitely, you know, gone into a little bit more of a more typical pattern. We ended up the month of March, an amazing, and I've never seen this before, Mike, 15.6 degrees above average. It's not even like March acted like April. March almost acted like May. So we've never seen anything like this ever in 140 years, and I still call this a 500-year event. So bottom line, clouds, a couple of showers, and maybe an isolated thunderstorm, probably still developing later on this afternoon, but I do think much of it is probably over with for today. Here's the funky stuff. North Shore, check this out, Mike, from Evanston up to about Highland Park, temperatures today probably only in the low to mid-50s. In the city from about Logan Square westward to about O'Hare, high temperature maybe up to about 62, 63. And in places further south and west, could even see readings in the low to mid-70s. So this is more typical for this time of the year, where we have these, you know, 20 to 25-degree temperature ranges across the area. Tomorrow, probably mid to upper 70s. Could get a couple of thunderstorms probably Monday night into Tuesday, but I do think much of tomorrow is rain-free. And then kind of on the cool side, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, with highs probably only, check this out, only in the low 50s with a lot of cloud cover. And for Wrigley Field, if you're heading out to the Cubs home opener on Thursday, probably highs maybe only near 50, which is about 4 to 5 degrees below normal for this time of the year. So slightly below average, but still nothing in the way of any extreme cold coming at us for a long time, Mike. I'm still thinking that we're not going to have a freeze for the rest of the year. And even if we do, not going to be a killing one.
Okay, two things. First of all, I just got a tweet from Josh Mogerman at the NRDC, and he put a link. And Kathleen, if you can maybe link this to Facebook or my Twitter account, he has a Republican who confesses that he's now convinced that climate change is real. And it's interesting, this little...
Well, that was from Paul Douglas. Paul Douglas was a meteorologist who was here in Chicago for about a year, and he has his own company up in Minneapolis. And he says, yeah, you know what, I'm a Republican, and it doesn't matter if I'm a Republican or Democrat. This isn't the atmosphere that I grew up with.
Yeah.
It was actually stated by Jeff Massey.
Yeah, it's Paul Douglas. You're right. And it's on the Huffington Post. So we'll get that link up.
It was very interesting stuff.
And the other thing is we're taping Dig in Chicago tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday at the lakefront. So we're going to get like 50 degrees and blustery or what?
No. Tomorrow's going to be warm. Tomorrow everybody gets into the low to mid-70s, maybe even close to 80 degrees tomorrow. But then it looks like it cools down a little bit on Tuesday. But so tomorrow, a lot of hairspray. It'll be a windy day tomorrow.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Day. My hair will look great. It'll just be all over my face. All right.
Yeah, but it's called Dig in Chicago, so, you know, I'd go along with it, right?
Okay, and we've got wind in the studio as well. Okay, but then Tuesday and Wednesday, it's a little cooler, huh?
Yeah, definitely much cooler on Tuesday and Wednesday, Mike.
All right, great. Thanks. Rick DeMaio Weather, you can go to DeMaioWeather.com. Go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Always a pleasure. You tell it like it is, and we really appreciate that, Rick.
That's the way it should be, Mike.
Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
And that's the lovely Tracy DeMarco. And what is that from? This is a song called...
It's a song called Remembering. It's the last song in the CD, so...
This your new
CD.
Kind of
gets to be the most... On the new CD that's coming out, yes, that's not out yet.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably the most upbeat one. Well, I mean, it depends. It gets upbeat throughout the CD, but I wanted to end the CD with just something kind of uplifting.
And these are all your songs. This is all,
yes.
You've written all of this.
Yes, I've written all the songs. This one, I did the keyboards and the harp and the singing, and then Brian did drums and bass for me on the song. So, yeah, it's, you know, how green the dream I spring into. So it's meant to be uplifting.
Let's listen to a little bit of it before we talk again. And as I mentioned before, you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, where you can find the links to Tracy's website, her Facebook page, the CD, The Glass Hour, which...
Yeah, right now there's links that people can click on that they can stream some of the songs before the CD's actually up. And also this song, if people go on YouTube, they can look up... there's an animation, a 3D animation that I did that I kind of use this for the soundtrack.
Yeah, I have to. I'm a bad person. I did not see it. I forgot to look at the 3D animation.
It's called
as well.
Tale of Two Leafies. If you type that in YouTube, it should come up. And the song is it's an animation of a leafy sea dragon underwater scene, an animal that I like quite a bit that I saw at the aquarium one time, and I think they are endangered. I think they're a coral reef sea animal in New Zealand and out in that area, and they're really beautiful. So the song fits well with that.
That's great. All right. That's definitely on the list of things for me to do today later on. As we wind down this song, you're also, obviously, you like the show and you're a gardener, right?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of stuff do you do?
Oh, yes. I have a huge vegetable garden in my backyard. I grow pretty much all the produce that I use in the year.
Really?
In my garden. Just about all. And I freeze what I don't use in the summer, and I use that all through until now. I still have peas from last last spring that I'm using now out of my freezer. And I'm starting my new garden now. So,
What do you mean, starting your new garden?
The next season already.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. There,
and speaking of the warm weather, some of my kale that I planted last fall is still alive from last winter. And usually it does not winter over, but it did this time for the first time. It's still growing.
In our community garden, we had Brussels sprouts over winter and Swiss chard. And I am the Swiss chard overlord of Chicago, as you know.
Swiss chard's great.
Yeah, and it's great stuff. But, it's been a really strange
really kind of
winter.
Odd, yes.
Well, we'll have you play a little bit more later on. Now, unfortunately, we're going to get a little serious now. And what I talked about at the in the first hour, Karen Hudson with the Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water. And it turns out we did get Mark Baker on the phone from Michigan, so we will go to them in a second. Gardeners know, and if you want to do any more of your little background stuff, that's fine with me here. Gardeners know that soil is key to great growing, and that perfect soil contains the ideal structure, proper pH, plus beneficial microbes and mycorrhizae. Dr. Earth. Natural and organic premium soils from Allsip Nursery contain all this and more. Their patented Pro Moisture Hydrate formula with aloe vera offers the cutting-edge biotechnology you need to keep those organisms alive. And it's available only in Dr. Earth premium bag soils from Allsip Nursery. To complement their soils, Dr. Earth now offers natural and organic fertilizers infused with probiotic beneficial soil microbes and mycorrhizae. In fact, all Dr. Earth products are produced with ocean-based top quality ingredients. Never any cheap fillers. Always choose Dr. Earth from Allsip Nursery for the ultimate in quality and value. Visit Allsip Nursery today. Hey, head down there. It's a great, great, beautiful show place. And boy, I was there last week and it was rocking, and I bet it's rocking again today. They're in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80. And they also have a location in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Also, if you want to find out what's going on, visit them online at AllsipNursery.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Can somebody tell me what season this is? For a while, I thought it was summer, but the calendar said spring. Of course, there is no spring in Chicago, so that really threw me off. Regardless of what season it is, if you're a gardener, you need a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Look for March, April on the cover. Then prepare to be learned. There's the guy who works for the Chicago Police Department who will soon have more than 300 pepper plants and 150 tomato plants ready to go into the ground. I kid you not. There's a story in there. And I'm sure he's going to wait for the warm weather to come back before he does that. He's a smart guy. Not to mention his beans, cucumber, squash, lettuce, mesclun, and more. And some of that can be planted early, like the lettuce and mesclun. It's enough to give me a complex, by the way, all that growing he does. There's another story on where to site your native plants for maximum success. And then there's my column on the inside back page. Reading it might just give you a complex. Grab a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, but don't forget to pay for it, on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And let's go to line 10. Boy, we got a lot of lines here. Bring in our friend, Karen Hudson from the Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water. How you doing, Karen?
Good morning. Great. It's very warm here, too, in Illinois, central Illinois.
Ah, and I guess we're going to get some of that through tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
Are we going to, Dennis, are we going to get Mark on the phone here, too?
Yeah, I'll get him on the phone.
Okay, sounds great. Let's get Mark on board, too. Karen was with us several weeks ago when we were talking about the ag gag laws that are popping up all over the country, and that is... you explain what an ag gag law is, Karen. I'll let you do that.
Well, for the folks listening out there, an ag gag law is basically a whistleblower type of law where corporate industry has backed legislation that is prohibiting folks from disguising themselves as farm workers and applying as a farm worker and taking hidden video of different practices inside of industrial farms. And it also paints a wide brush and includes folks who either possess photos of this or possess photos of the operation, which could cause intent or harm economically to an operation. So it's basically a whistleblower law.
It's an anti-whistleblower law.
Yeah, anti-whistleblower law.
So that's what we're talking about. So what that was what we started with, and you called it to my attention. I saw an article on it, and then I talked to you, and we talked about that. Now we've got something new going on in the state of Michigan, and it will affect people throughout the country, perhaps. It's certainly going to affect people who like to eat meat but wanted to make sure that it was raised in a humane condition.
Yes.
And it's going to affect top-end chefs in restaurants who look for that kind of meat to satisfy their customers. It started today. It's weird that it's April Fool's Day, and you would think that it almost sounds like a joke. It almost sounds like a joke, but it's deadly serious, isn't it?
Yes, it's very serious. What they're proposing is that heritage swine breeds be banned from production. Heritage swine are raised outdoors in enclosed areas. And this is one of the niche markets that people are just clamoring for because the meat's tasty, there's little or no use of antibiotics, and it's just a great niche market for many small to medium farmers all over the country.
Well, let's bring in Mark Baker from Baker's Green Acres in Marion, Michigan. Mark, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. I know it's probably a pretty crazy day for you. Before I get to explaining what's happened and how you're affected by it, I'm wondering, have you been on the lookout for people coming to your farm today? It is April 1st. Is there going to be any enforcement on a Sunday?
Well, they said they would, and we took measures to keep things safe around here. Like, I sent my kids off to be with their grandparents and my wife off. So I held her down last night by myself, and nothing happened. It was quiet.
Well, this is serious stuff. This is this is a little scary if you have to send your kids off because you're afraid that. And we're talking about the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, which gave an order that said the swine that you have on your property are illegal to raise at this point.
That's correct.
And that's because they're worried about feral populations in Michigan, and they want to control them. Tell me where the logic breaks down in this.
Well, the logic breaks down in just the use of the English language. They're calling pigs that are domesticated pigs, and they're mine. They're on my side of the fence. They are calling them feral. You know, and a feral pig is a pig that was domesticated and then was either abandoned or escaped and wound up on the outside of the fence and then rewilded itself. If those pigs were brought back into captivity, into domestication, they would be domestic pigs again. But our pigs are certainly not feral because they're under our direct supervision and animal husbandry practices.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where it breaks down.
Well, and I happened to see the video of you testifying before the Senate committee in the state of Michigan, and you make a point that pigs in your situation are not likely to wander off because they want to hang around their food source.
Yeah, pigs are they're lazy. They don't want to have to work hard for their food if they can just whine at the fence and I'll feed them. So if they ever do get out, like if one of the kids leaves a gate open or something like that, the pigs are more likely to come to the house or the barn and start looking for food, or the garden, my wife's garden. But to think that a pig would head to the woods is, it sounds good to non-farmers, and it sounds believable, but to a farmer, it's not likely to happen.
So how, if there are feral pigs out there, how did they get out? So I assume that there are farmers who have let them go, and it, some will escape.
Yeah.
How serious is a problem is the feral pig population in Michigan?
Well, it's non-existent. It's a fabrication is what it is. They made up this terrible problem, and then the answer to that problem is really what they want. What they want is all pigs to be in confinement houses or CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations. That's their end goal, and they want to put family farms just right out of business. I can tell you that there is no feral pig problem, and what the Michigan legislature did is they said, I'm sorry, someone else is calling. Yeah,
oh, that, I heard the click. Cool. Right. They're calling to tell you you're on the radio.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But what the DNR went to the legislature and they said, we have this terrible problem and we want to shut it off before it becomes huge like it is in, say, Texas. And the legislature said, okay, and, you know, they're smart people. They call around and they find out what other states do. And states like Missouri started to have a problem, and they issued a shoot-on-site order. And so anybody that's in the woods that's hunting, and they're hunting legally, and they own guns legally, or they have a concealed carry permit, can legally harvest an animal, and they can bring it to their house, and they can make pork chops out of it. So the DNR has said that there's 5,000 to 8,000 pigs running wild in the state of Michigan, you know, scaring old women and, you know, eating children and all this stuff. Well, last year, the first year of the shoot on site, there was only 42 animals shot.
And as you pointed out in your testimony, how many deer were killed at the same time?
About 145,000.
And 42 pigs.
Yeah, 42 pigs.
Okay. Yeah, that's a terrible problem. That's just a terrible problem.
There's further disturbing testimony there. Pigs that are brought to, say, facilities where you're going to use them for hunting, because that's where their focus is. That's where they fired their first arrow, because nobody's sympathetic towards hunting preserves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they focused on them, and they said, well, that's where the pigs are coming from. They're getting out there. Well, before you can send pigs to one of those hunting preserves, they have to be checked by a vet for pseudorabies and general health, and the vet puts a tag in their ear. It's a steel tag, and it's designed for swine, so it won't come out. And we do it all the time, and very rarely do we have one come out. If we do, a lot of ear is coming out with it too. And the tag has a number on it, and the number coincides with the number of the farm, and that goes on record with the Michigan Department of Agriculture. So here the DNR says 42 pigs were killed. Where are the ear tags? I want to see them. And if those pigs did damage, well, we have nuisance laws. If my pigs get out and do damage to somebody's property and somebody shoots that pig, and they pull the tag, and the tag says, that belongs to Mark Baker, I'm the one that's responsible for the damage.
Mm-hmm.
So why is the DNR taking the responsibility to clear every pig out of the state so that no damage gets done? That's the responsibility of the farmer. We've done it that way for a lot of years now, and now they want to take control is what they want to do. They want to have control of family farms.
Okay, so yeah, that's where it sort of goes off the rails. You can understand why if there's a feral pig problem in the state and they need to cull those pigs, as you say, do a shoot on site. But they've taken it one step further, which is to say, and now you, as a farmer, cannot even have those pigs. You cannot even raise those pigs in your farm because they're so likely to get out. But as you've pointed out, they don't get out.
Right.
So it's some kind of subterfuge here. I guess, Karen, I'll bring you in. I'm sure you see the connection here. One of the things that I wrote about, you know, I was reading some of the articles about it. It says from a woman named Hartke, who runs who does a blog, I'm trying to find her name here.
Kimberly.
Thank you very much. She writes, the pork confinement operations in Michigan have come out in favor of this new law, meaning the CAFOs have come out in favor of it. As the public becomes increasingly aware of the eco-damage, filth, and animal cruelty on these mega farms, rather than clean up their act, they are pressuring government agencies to thwart alternative production models. So sensitive to the growing public concern about their practices, in some states, pork producers are introducing ag gag legislation to keep the public from seeing how their food is produced. Or they're just going to put the people who do it humanely out of business. Now, that's my own comment at the end of that. So is this where it all comes together, Karen?
Yes, I do. Ag gag laws are bringing up a host of problems, one of which is disease. If we are unable to take documentation of practices on these large-scale factory farms, we have a big problem with antibiotic resistance. That's when bacteria evolved to become resistant to normal antibiotics. And this is a huge growing problem, in part due to hospitals, sewage treatment plants, but most recently it's been proven that large-scale CAFOs, who use millions of pounds of this a year, in fact, about 70% of all the antibiotics used in the U.S. go to animal agriculture in the absence of disease.
And if I may jump in here, the Obama administration is addressing that finally. After some 35 years, the Food and Drug Administration may ban the agricultural use of some popular antibiotics because of this problem.
Yeah, they went one step. They banned the cephalosporins, which is used in about 14% of humans, but there is still a host of other antibiotics that need to be banned, and a recent federal court judge brought down an order that this needs to be seriously looked at and implemented. It was something that was addressed several years ago, but FDA backed out on it. So we need to make sure and know that factory farms are transmitting disease off-site. I heard that feral hogs are in danger of harming people with their pathogens and their diseases. We need to look at how many factory farms are polluting billions of gallons of water in states across the country. And this pollution is found in air, in antibiotic-resistant staff, in homes downwind from these confinements. I think this is much more threat to human health than feral hogs.
We're talking to Karen Hudson, Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water. Mark Baker is also on the line with us. He's with Baker's Green Acres in Marion, Michigan. Here's where it all comes together. It's ag gag laws, and now in Michigan, this onerous law, which, and Mark, is it actually something that was passed by the legislature, or is it just an order enacted by the Michigan DNR?
It's the latter. The legislature really didn't have anything to do with this. This was solely on the part of the DNR. So they issued a declaratory ruling on the 13th of December 2011, and now they're going to start enforcing it.
And this is what scares the heck out of me. This is a DNR order, and the night before it goes into, they say, okay, April 1st, we're going to come and get your pigs. You don't really know whether they're going to show up with guns or handcuffs for you. And you had to send your family away. This doesn't sound like America to me.
No.
This doesn't sound like America at all.
No.
Now, you know, I'm from Michigan.
Yeah.
I love my home state, but Michigan's gone off the rails. I don't know what's going on over there. But that being said, as Karen and I discussed a few weeks ago, that the ag gag law came up here in Illinois, you know, with a bunch of Democrats running everything. So it's really not about Democrat or Republican. It's about big ag and big money.
That's right.
And you are, what do you propose to do now?
Well, what I told them that, or what I'm doing, we sued the DNR here in my county. And then there's another farmer in the UP that also sued. And, you know, that's what we can do. I told the DNR that I would not comply with this order because I cited violations of the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment. And I'm an oath keeper. I'm former military, so I took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against any enemies, foreign or domestic. And I told them I will not comply with this order because it's illegal and it's unconstitutional. So that puts the ball in their court. They can arrest me. They can try and prosecute me. But we feel we have a lawyer, and we feel that in the process of prosecuting me, they will actually be found guilty of issuing an unconstitutional order.
And this is amazing because, as you said, you're a vet.
Yeah.
You serve this country. And I've heard your story, Mark, which is you came back to start a farm because you saw what the farm people were like in the military, and they were the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
These were the people that you thought were a cut above. And so you come back to Michigan, and you had the opportunity to be involved in a CAFO, I understand. Why didn't that happen?
Well, that's kind of ironic that happened. When I came, I started looking at that. There's all the buzz around is it's a real good deal. You get into it. You build these really big hog houses, and then once they're paid for, you start making pretty good money. The problem is as soon as you get them paid for, they want you to do upgrades on them. And those are precisely the people that are involved in this. It's Michigan pork producers. And things didn't go very well between me and them, and I just saw a big mess. One of the things was they were supposed to come to my farm and meet me, and they on a Saturday, so we had the place cleaned up, the kids looking good, and they never showed up and didn't call me. And so I was just out of the military, and that was a big problem for me at that time. And so I broke communication with them, and since then, anytime that they're involved with something, it's kind of a mess. When I was testifying, they lined the back of the court there and sat there with pretty smug looks on their face, and I don't know what they were there for. I think to intimidate me.
Yeah, but, during your testimony to the Michigan Senate?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the other story, stranger and stranger as you dig into this. That's the thing. I found out about this, basically yesterday. As I read more and more, I become more and more appalled. Because from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, the farmers weren't even the first people to find out about this. That they went to, oddly enough, the restaurants.
Right.
First, the Michigan DNR went to the restaurants and said, "Hey, you might be losing your hogs here that are raised humanely," and then they went to you, the farmers, and then there was a meeting where you had armed DNR people sort of watching over you. Is this the Soviet Union or what? Can you describe that for me, please?
Oh, sure. They called a meeting because there were so many of us farmers calling up there and asking them to explain this declaratory ruling. Because there's language in here that we just don't really understand. They say that pigs that are raised for sus domestica, they throw a little Latin in there to make the mix even more clear, is okay. So we try to find out what does sus domestica mean. I would think that would probably be me. But anyway, they called this meeting. And we thought, hey, we can go to that. We can ask some questions, get this hammered out. Maybe they don't understand, you know, what farming is all about, which is possible. DNR, they're supposed to be in the woods, right? So we go to this meeting, and I walk in and there's an armed officer standing in the middle of the hallway. So I had to either walk in front of him or behind him. It was kind of a tactic, I thought. And he had his, you know, his thumbs tucked into his belt in front and just kind of stared us down.
Kind of Barney Fife, right?
What's that?
Kind of Barney Fife-like.
This guy was pretty sharp looking. I mean,
was he?
I got nothing against the COs. I mean, they're kind of like military. They joined up, and they're doing what they're told. They have to do what they're told. They take orders.
All right.
But I got nothing against the COs, really. And then when we went in the room, there was another one sitting down amongst the men. And then there was a guy in plain clothes that had an automatic on his hip, and he was wearing a vest. I saw that right away. Anyway, they sat us down, and there was about 40 guys. They gave us a PowerPoint presentation, which was basically the declaratory ruling, which we all had. We'd all downloaded that off the Internet. And then a gal got up and gave a briefing about biology. A lot of it didn't even pertain to what we were there for. And then she says, "That's it, fellas. You know, have some coffee and donuts in the back of the room and drive safely on the way home." And some of the men raised their hands, had questions, and she says, "Oh, I'm sorry. We don't have time for your questions." And some of the men got kind of upset and stood up and started to ask questions anyway. And then the armed officer that was sitting behind me stood up with his hand up on his hip just above his pistol and said, "Gentlemen, we're going to keep this orderly, and please take your seats." And he had a pistol on one side. He had a taser on the other side. So
wow.
We took our seats and shut up. And then they said that we could have coffee and donuts in the back of the room. So a lot of the men got together in small groups and talked amongst themselves. And it was a galvanizing time. And that's when we decided that we're not going to take this from these guys. Because if we take this, the next step is going to be even worse. So we have to resist this with everything we possibly have. So that's why I've just refused to carry out this order. I will not do it. And I'll resist them with every asset that I have.
Well, good on you. I'm you know, you got to at some point draw the line, stand up. It's amazing, you know, and where have we seen this picture before? I've talked on this show in the past about what happened in Illinois, and you're probably not aware of this issue, Mark, but there's going to be a open pit sand mine dug right next to Starved Rock State Park. And same thing happened. The county board gets together, and they're not going to let people talk. You know, it's to kind of shut down the debate, even though people were pretty outraged about it. And then they don't even allow the DNR to have hearings on it. And that's the Illinois DNR. And so my feeling is, what's with the DNRs in the Midwest lately? And I'm hoping the Illinois DNR steps up and slows down that whole process. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that they're going to be digging by the end of the year next to Starved Rock, really. I think that's what's going to happen. But there are people working on it. But here in Michigan, that's chilling, what you're telling me. And this article that's written by Kimberly Hartke, which you can connect to if you go to your website, which is Baker's. Sorry, I don't have it right in front of me.
It's BakersGreenAcres.com.
BakersGreenAcres.com. Thank you. Because she writes that you should contact Governor Rick Snyder. And for you people who can hear the show in Michigan, I hope you do. You people out of state, because it's affecting restaurants in Illinois and Indiana, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It doesn't matter what state you're in. You can still call him. And
do you supply any restaurants in Chicago?
I do.
Which restaurants here in Chicago?
The Brown Trout.
The Brown Trout.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of the Brown Trout and you want to continue to be able to have pork that is humanely raised, contact Governor Rick Snyder. It's rick.snyder@michigan.gov. Rick.snyder@michigan.gov. Or phone, and I would say phone, Pick up the phone and make his staff answer questions. 517-335-7858. 517-335-7858. And Kimberly writes very astutely. She says, do not allow his office to direct you to the DNR. Because that's what they're going to try to do. Oh, that's a DNR thing.
Yeah,
it's a DNR thing. But shouldn't people also be contacting the legislature? Is the legislature going to be able to do it? What did the committee say after you testified?
Well, they generated two pieces of paper that they wanted to vote on because the testimony was pretty compelling. The senators didn't know. And I think a lot of the legislature is really compassionate and decent people, the ones that I met. And that was good. But what I saw happen was they went in to vote on these two pieces of paper. One was to squash the declaratory ruling. The other one was just to give us 90 days extension just so, you know, we could get this hammered out. And we had enough votes for the 90-day extension. And then a group came in, a group of men came in into the lobby. I guess they're lobbyists. They look like contractors to me. And, you know, a bunch of suits. And they peeled those senators out of there one at a time and got them to change their votes. I saw this with my own eyes. And that lobbying group is employed by the Michigan Pork Growers Association. And they're employed by all the big ag, like Michigan Milk and Allied Poultry Industries and Michigan Agribusiness Association. So it's big ag that wants to do away with family farms. That's really what it comes down to. And those guys came in and changed it. Our legislators would have done the right thing, but they were convinced. And who knows? I mean, I didn't see them passing money, but they were influenced by these guys.
This is just the saddest story. And it is. And folks, Mark Baker is not a lobbyist. He's not even with a environmental organization. He's a farmer. He's a farmer just trying to make money and raise his family in central Michigan. And this is what's going on over there. Unbelievable.
You know, Mike, I gotta say something, too. This really isn't just about me. I mean, it's really not. This affects 2009 farms in Michigan that raise less than 500 animals. And so most of those guys are out on fields or out in the dirt, they call it. And a lot of these farms, I would say most of them, don't even know that this is happening. They're just going to get visited someday by the DNR and told that they have to depopulate their herd. And they're really going to be taken by surprise. And in my case, this hurts me a lot financially. I mean, it could put us out of business. But I know a lot of guys are heavily invested in hogs, and it will put them out of business. So here we have this terrible economy. The governor's going around saying local economies, local food, farms, innovative techniques. But then he's got his minions at the DNR that are squashing small farms. And you got to ask why. But I really think that the governor should be answering a few questions at this point. But he will not come out and talk with us. He will not return phone calls. He could stop this right now. But, you know, you gotta wonder, why doesn't he? You know, it's not going to hurt anything to just stop this and let us continue to raise hogs out on the fields. There are guys that have depopulated their herds. I know some of them. They were with us at first, but they're so intimidated by the DNR that they're afraid. They're basically afraid. I mean, I'm kind of afraid, too. That's why I sent my wife and children away last night, and I stayed here myself because I know their tactics. I know what they like to do. They're famous for pre-dawn raids on farms. So, this has got to stop. People have to rise up now and let their voices be heard. These people need to have their teeth pulled, and that needs to happen soon.
I am speechless here, Mark. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the word out. I'm going to make a dedicated podcast of our conversation and make sure that folks know about this issue. And I want you to keep in touch with me. Let me know the first time anybody shows up and attempts to take out your herd. We will follow through. It's a shame I'm not broadcasting in Michigan. The signal does reach over there, but it doesn't cover a lot of the state.
Yeah.
But people can listen on the internet, and I have people, you know, and like you said, it affects restaurants all over the place, and it's just the tip of the iceberg because this happens. It's a slippery slope to having it happen in many states.
Yeah.
I have to go, Mark. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Karen, you didn't get a chance to talk a lot, but
That's fine. Mark has all the facts, and he's 100% right, and we back him.
And I appreciate you alerting me to this story. This is an important story, and we have to continue to follow it.
That's right.
All right. Both of you, thank you so much, and this is no April Fool's joke. I'm telling you, this is not a gimmick. This is real. This is happening. People with the, armed guards at meetings, and people coming in the dead of night and taking away your business. And it's happening in America. Thanks again, Mark Baker and Karen Hudson. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's get some business out of the way. Jennifer Brennan will be here. We need some more music. It's gotten very somber here in the studio. I'm sorry, Tracy. That was a real serious...
but that was a very important topic.
Yeah,
to know that stuff's going on. Government, not just certain elements of government. Don't like to ever say government because it's certain people, elements that are trying to sneak things on people.
Yeah.
Sneaking laws, sneaking things for big business, and they're not in the best interest of
people who have the money are the players, and it's a shame because the people who have the voices need to step up, and that's us.
Yep.
It would be hard to think of a more diverse environmental organization than our area's very own Open Lands. Its projects include prairies, wetlands, greenway corridors. Yeah, let's get some prairie music and Greenland Corridor music here. Parks, forest preserves, urban gardens, and even visual and performing arts. If you can think of a way to celebrate and protect our green spaces, Open Lands has probably done it. Founded in 1963, Open Lands protects the natural and open spaces of northeastern Illinois and surrounding region to ensure cleaner air and water, protect natural habitats and wildlife, and help balance and enrich our lives. Through four interrelated programs, community greening, greenways, land preservation, and policy, Open Lands adopts and implements long-term solutions that balance the inevitable growth of our region with the responsibility we share to protect our open spaces and natural resources for generations to come. Open Lands has helped save, secure, and provide public access to more than 55,000 acres of land for prairies, wetlands, and greenway corridors, as well as parks, forest preserves, and urban gardens. Volunteer your time, donate to a project, or just enjoy one of their many public spaces by going to openlands.org. Open Lands, conserving nature for life.
Are you passionate about health and wellness, nutrition, fitness, personal growth, or living a more sustainable and green lifestyle? Then pick up your free copy of Natural Awakenings magazine throughout the city of Chicago and northern and northwestern suburbs. Natural Awakenings is available at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, retail locations, and wherever free publications are found. Natural Awakenings is your local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and complementary medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, a local events calendar, and so much more. Natural Awakenings is also the perfect way for advertisers to reach health-conscious and green readers that actively support like-minded businesses and service providers. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Pick up your copy of Natural Awakenings at more than 800 area locations or read it online at nachicagonorth.com.
Here's a question from the Care of Trees blog. Arborists are often asked, what rights do landowners have when their neighbor's tree limbs hang over their property? Here's the answer. The landowner owns both the ground below and, more music, and the air above his property. When a neighbor's tree limb hangs over an adjoining property, the adjoining property owner has an absolute right to cut the tree limb off to the property line, provided that the pruning is properly performed and does not cause unreasonable harm to the tree. The adjoining property owner is free from all civic and criminal damages when he does cut the limbs. This overhang, in fact, belongs to the adjoining owner, which tells you that the best thing you can do is talk to your neighbor and resolve this amicably. Log on to the Care of Trees blog for more straightforward information. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. In the studio, we have Tracy DeMarco on the harp, Brian Bradbury, keyboardist, and it's just been great having you guys here. We'll have a song before we wrap up. Is your soil looking a little sick? Call the doctor. Dr. Earth, that is. Dr. Earth's probiotics, a soil inoculant, is chock full of soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that help break down organic materials to make nutrients available to your plants. No cheap fillers here. Only organic goodies that will make your garden not only survive, but thrive. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. Sold only at independent garden centers. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you, and be sure to check out the Facebook page. Search Dr. Earth and click like for organic updates.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
And now I'd like to read an open letter to all the rabbits, squirrels, deer, chipmunks, and raccoons listening today, and I know I have many of them who listen. Stay away from my plants. That is the message. Oh, do we have critter music? That's the message. Yeah, it sounds like a chipmunk. That's the message that Bonide Repels All Animal Repellent will send to these ravenous little critters. Repels All is an all-natural repellent that uses smell, taste, and irritation to keep pests away. Unlike other repellents, Repels All has no unpleasant odor and is effective for up to 2 months, guaranteed. Repels All natural formula can be applied to trees, shrubs, perennials, and around edible crops. It also works to prevent animals from chewing on fences and structures. Repels All is available in concentrate, ready-to-use and ready-to-spray liquid formulations, and in easy-to-spread granules. Look for Repels All products at these fine stores: Sonoris Brothers in Frankfort, Illinois, Karp's Garden and Feed Center in Hobart, Indiana, Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or Droid. Hey, Tracy, Bri, I know you guys wanted to do one more little thing before we get to Jennifer. Did you have a song that you want to do?
We don't have another song, but we can play a little something.
Okay, let's play a little something. I thought you had something in particular you wanted to do, but...
Nothing prepared. No, we just had that one song. But we can definitely... Okay,
here we go. This again.
All right, let me set up for that again.
Tracy DeMarco and her magical harp. While they're setting up, let me go to the phones and bring in the lovely, the talented Jennifer Brennan, the fastest talking woman in horticulture.
Hi. This is the best music. It's like listening to angels, Mike. This is a whole new aspect for you.
Yeah, me being associated with angels and all. Yeah, wait. Let me do the. I'll do Jennifer's intro, and then you can give her angel music. Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the lovely, the talented Jennifer Brennan. Okay. Have you ever had an introduction
like that
before?
I love that. I need that to follow me around wherever I go, Mike. Wouldn't that just be wonderful?
Yeah. Except the harp's like, you know, 5 feet tall, so it's kind of tough. And then we have the keyboard as well. Jennifer, we start shooting tomorrow.
I know. Isn't this exciting? I know how tornadoes get started. You know, the wind blows, and then all of a sudden it goes in a circle, and then there's a tornado. That's how this show has been. You know, it's spun into action, and we're ready to go. This is exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. We're talking about Dig In Chicago, which is a television show that Jennifer and I will be co-hosting. It launches on April 21st in the Chicago area on cable, Comcast. It's channel 102. We're on at 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings. And starting tomorrow, we're taping. We're going down to Lurie Garden at Millennium Park. And then we go to the next day to the Shedd Aquarium. And, tomorrow we'll talk to Jennifer Davitt at Lurie Garden. And then on Tuesday we talk to Christine Nye at the Shedd Aquarium and Roy Diblick from Northwind Perennial Farm. And then we do this really cool thing at the Field Museum. They're doing a project called the Edible Treasures Garden, and we'll watch planting there, and Diane Ott-Wheely will be there from Seed Savers Exchange. We're interviewing her. So some really cool stuff. We're out and about in the burbs and going to garden centers and doing stuff. It's a busy 3 days, Jennifer.
And then we're going to end up, you know, on Monday afternoon at Dave Esau's.
Right.
And where he's the dig-in chef. So showing, you know, great cooking. And, there's something for everybody in this show, you know, with between the outdoor living and the gardening advice from all the great horticulturists that we know here in the Chicago area, and then how to cook with the foods that people are growing with the great expertise from Dave, and the fun. He is so much fun. We're just going to have a blast.
It's going to be great. I don't even know what he's cooking. Do you have any idea what the dishes he's going to prepare tomorrow?
No, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I know he's been out in Denver on vacation. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know. He's been talking to the digging people, the producers behind our back.
I know. And I think he's just getting back tonight, and then he's going to have everything. I think he's got some catering he's doing today, and then so we're all going to be surprised. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be great, and I'm looking forward to it. And I hope folks will go right now to Dig In Chicago on Facebook and like us.
Absolutely.
And then go to the Mike Novak Show and like that too.
Sure.
Why not? I'm hoping that people are going to watch us, catch the show on, and if they can't, if they don't have cable, and a lot of people have said, no, I don't have cable, it's going to be online. It's going to be at mydiginchicago.com. And we will be starting it on the 21st of April.
It's going to be great.
All right, Jennifer, I just wanted to make sure that we mentioned that. It's great talking to you. We're going to wrap up here with some more angel. Give Jennifer some angel music as she flies out the window.
Thank you.
All right, Jennifer, bye.
Bye-bye.
It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Wally gets his tomatoes in early May. Now listen to this. I mean, early May, don't even start thinking about planting your tomatoes outside yet. But what he does, he gets his tomatoes in early May and transplants them into 1 gallon containers. Put a couple of cups of Dr. Earth organic potting soil. You heard a lot about them on the show because he recommends Dr. Earth, and of course Allsip, it carries the product, and Pesci's carries the product. But put a couple of cups of Dr. Earth organic potting soil in the container, along with a quarter cup Dr. Earth organic 5 tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer. Remove the lowest branches from the tomato with a razor blade knife and place the roots of the plant right on top of the fertilizer. You can do that because it's organic. Finish filling the container with the organic potting soil and water well. I'm sorry. Finish filling the container with the organic potting soil and water well. Use dechlorinated or rainwater when possible. Keep your transplanted tomatoes out in the full sun during the day. Move them indoors if temperatures drop below 45 degrees at night or if there's a hard damaging storm. Tomatoes should be planted when the soil temperature hits 70 degrees. Your tomatoes will be in great shape at this point with a huge root system when they're ready to go in your garden. Pesci's Garden Center, and by the way, you can find out more about that tip. Go to MikeNovak.net. Go to the home page because Dr. Wally's tip is there along with other tips that he's given me. We're giving him his own page on MikeNovak.net. And Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. You can also visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Go there today. Say hi to Dr. Wally and say Mike sent you.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Well, we're wrapping things up here on the Mike Novak Show. I just got a message. Oh, and this is Tracy singing. And she does this, and this is the new CD, right, Tracy?
Yep, the new CD will be called Ever After. And right now I'm trying to raise the money to produce it and hopefully have it out this summer.
So we'll keep tabs on her and go to my website and find all the information. I got a Facebook message that said, can you put a link to Baker's Green Acres on Facebook? I'm going to do that. C.L. O'Brien wrote, I, like you, am appalled by what I just heard about the farmer in Michigan. Sorry to be Debbie Downer on that, but it's important for us to do that. But meanwhile, this is wonderful music, and I want to thank you for schlepping all the way up here from Kankakee.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And Brian, thank you too, buddy. He nods.
We both enjoyed it. Oh, I just wanted to let people know too that the former CD is available, so if people are interested in that, it's called Amaranthine, and they can find it on CD Baby or iTunes or the usual.
And if they want to go to your website is?
TheGlassHour.com, or they can find us, The Glass Hour, on Facebook.
All right, let's go out with some music. Thanks, guys.